Chapter 5. Dr. Mengele was indefatigable in the exercise of his functions. He spent long hours in his laboratories, then hurried to the unloading platform, where the daily arrival of 4 or 5 train loads of Hungarian deportees kept him busy half the day. Unceasingly, the new convoys marched off in columns of 5, flanked by SS guards. I watched one come in and line up. Although my vantage point was at some distance from the tracks, and my view obstructed by the maze of barbed wire fences, I could still see that this convoy had been expelled from some fair-sized city. The prisoners' clothes were smartly tailored. Many were wearing new poplin raincoats, and the suitcases they carried were of expensive leather. In that city, wherever it was, they had managed to create for themselves a pleasant, cultured way of life. And that was the cardinal sin for which they were now paying so dearly. My interjection. In waking up, we asked, why do they want to steal our happiness? We, the targeted, are very familiar with that dynamic of misery. Must have company. Continuing, despite his numerous functions, I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. Miklos has such a dry humor. Despite his numerous functions, Dr. Mengele even found time for me. A cart drawn by prisoners drew up before the dissecting room door. And to interject yet again, we will have to take some time with in some future radio show. Lucius the Ass. Strange though it may sound, as Lucius the Ass is a folk tale, it seems to me that there are some not insignificant commonalities between these two records. Despite Lucian's being fiction and Miklos's being only too real, they are both catalogues of horrors. Both count up the ways humans underclass, torture, and kill their brothers and sisters. And Lucius the Ass was written 2,000 years ago.